Is one stud AFC running back falling too far in FFPC drafts? What kind of value is in there is in an aging but still productive NFC South receiver? And which high-end quarterback is creeping even further up FFPC players' draft boards? Plus, on the show tonight, nine-time FFPC league champion and founder of FFMastermind.com, Michael Masaryk, will join us. 2023 KFFSC main event champion Randy Lavender will be popping on to break down the Chargers receivers, the Saints running backs, and much more. We've got a great show for you. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Can't stand the pressure. I've seen greater men than need a lesson.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott.
Silence in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a man. Nobody ever told me what a man was.
Thank you, Rob. Greetings and salutations to all of you Balkaholics and Farrelliacs. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by the Fantasy Football Players Championship at MyFFPC.com. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman. You know me from the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show on the Better Sports Network, and of course, the FFPC. My co-host tonight is the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott. Remember to check out his leagues, the online and lives. The lives get underway in Cincinnati this Sunday at KFFSC.com. Once again, KFFSC.com. Coming up on the show tonight, Michael Masaryk, longtime FFPC, longtime fantasy football content creator. He's been in the game. I think he's coming up on his fourth decade, which is crazy. So he knows his stuff. Nine-time FFPC league champion. He's won fantasy pros titles. He's won main events. He's won pros versus Joes. He's won dynasties. He's done it all, and he's here to share some of his knowledge tonight. That'll be the first half of the show. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, Randy Lavender, last year's KFFSC main event champion, is going to hop aboard as well to share what he learned last year, what he plans on doing in trying to win the $1 million in the FFPC main event this year, and so much more. If you want to connect with us on X, the show is at HSFF Hour. I am at Eric Balkman. At Michael Masaryk is at FF Mastermind. And of course, check out Farrell's Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship at KFFSC.com. Facebook.com/HSFF Hour is where to reach us. And email the show at highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. If you have any questions for us, now is the time to send them. We'll try to get to all the chat room questions, X posts, and emails throughout the program tonight. With two guests, it will be tough. But if you want to ask the guests something, let us know because we want to get those questions to them ASAP. Shout out to our audio engineer and my best friend, Bryce, and of course, our producer and mutual friend, Rob. The Fantasy Pros Championship not only has drafts filling every day, they are filling fast, and you can win $1 million. $6 million plus prize pool, $50 discount on every third team that you buy. MyFFPC.com is where to go for that. We have at least three more time slots tonight that you can actually still draft. So check that out, myffpc.com. The FFPC main event going on as well, live and slow drafts popping off there. Another $1 million grand prize for you. So take advantage of that. We'll have times going on each and every day. We had a lot of them this weekend as well. MyFFPC.com is where to go for that, as well as the Superflex Best Ball Tournament. Sign up for that, $35 to enter, and you can win a $100,000 grand prize. And don't forget, Dynasty and Empire Startups still going strong over at MyFFPC.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on it, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, and get notified each and every time we go live. And I'll tell you more about when we are going live again coming up at the end of the program. Let's bring him in, the co-host with the most, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, the unofficial prince of Kentucky, at J. Farrell Elliott on the X and on the gram. Welcome in, Farrell Elliott.
As long as I do not have to campaign for that position, I will accept it, Bob.
That's royalty, man. That's just passed down. So you don't have to worry about it. There's no campaigning, nothing like that. That's just what people tell me, man. So that's why it's unofficial too.
Depends who you're talking to. Yes, sir.
KFFSC, let's talk about it just real quick at the top. Main events are filling up fast, and I think there's a lot of people that, you know, it's kind of tough to make plans to get to the live event in Cincinnati on Sunday or in Louisville coming up next weekend. But plenty of online stuff still available.
It is. And the online effort that we have, we've at least got now through September 3rd. I believe we have one, with the exception of the days that we are drafting live, I believe we have one every day. And if you're in one of the 19 states that are properly regulated, or in our case, unregulated, you may join the KFFSC from those states. And we would love to have you play and seek to be our 23rd champion. We've got a wonderful champion lined up later in the show tonight to talk to, that's been at it for quite a while. And Balky, we had one spot remaining in the Northern Kentucky Cincinnati area draft, which will be coming from Cincinnati Airport Marriott. We had one spot left. We opened it up to a virtual user, and guess who? Two-packer jumped in and claimed it. You know, God bless the two-packer. He jumped right in there and claimed that. So, yeah, Buck.
It's what we do. People from Wisconsin just solve problems.
You just got to love the Wisconsin.
Well, let's go out to gorgeous Nevada for our first guest tonight. Living in the shadows of Las Vegas, he has 30-plus years fantasy football experience and operates one of the longest-running fantasy football information websites since 1996. Won the SI.com Expert Leagues four consecutive seasons before they said, to hell with this. Nazareth wins it every year. We're not doing the league anymore. And he is the CEO and president of Fantasy Football Mastermind, Inc., ffmastermind.com, ffmastermind on the X as well. Please welcome back on the nine-time FFPC league champion, Mr. Michael Nazareth. Mike, welcome aboard tonight.
Well, it's great to be here, guys, and what an introduction. I don't know if I can live up to all that, but I'm going to try.
You know, you say that every year, Mike, and somehow you seem to exceed it every year. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to be okay.
I think Mastermind should be actually moved to your middle name and should actually become official.
Michael Mastermind Nazareth has a nice ring to it, for sure. Let's get into it tonight, Mike. And I think one of the things, and I always give you short shrift on this, because we always do it at the end, but let's talk about ffmastermind.com right at the start. I think this is fascinating that, you know, a lot of these content websites, we've had so many of them pop up in the last decade, and even the old ones have been around for like 15 years. But my God, you've been around for what, 28, 29 years now? Tell the viewers a little bit about what FF Mastermind has done, what it continues to offer, and what it's offering this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're talking back in the days of dial-up in 1996, started the website. And I was a computer analyst at the time. And so I was working two jobs doing this and doing that. And then in 99, the business just took off. And, you know, I just had to quit my day job and start doing this full time. And, you know, it's just from playing. I've been playing the game since 1988. And, you know, one of the first people to write about the stud running back theory back in the day. And, of course, you know, now it's a lot different because we've got the PPR and all kinds of different types of leagues and all. But, yeah, it's just been fantastic all these years helping people win. And they've been very loyal to come back and keep me in business. I help them win. It's a, you know, good pseudo relationship there to help people win. And I basically had the entire staff about the same for the last 20 years until, unfortunately, John Cooney, our longtime, he did almost everything for me, passed away from cancer last year. We're dedicating the service to him this year. You know, it's just not going to be the same, but everyone else is still here. We're all rallying around and we got the guide up and going and, you know, we're going to be doing the newsletters and everything. And we're not fancy. We're old school. So you got to buy a password and you got to go to the site to download the information. And I don't have an app about the site at all. But, you know, people like it. The people that are subscribed to us don't like change. And, you know, so we give them what they want. We help them win. And that's all that matters.
I cashed in this year because I saw a coupon in the back of the Yellow Pages for Fantasy Football Mastermind. And I mailed it in. And I want to know, if you'll share the information about one player, you talked about dominating running backs. I have drafted Derrick Henry every time I could get him. And if someone else drafts him, I kind of get upset no matter where I am in the draft. Am I 211's the ADP? I think, you know, if he's there in the second round, I'm taking him. Am I making the right move?
You certainly are. I could make an argument that I think he should go sooner than that. But You know, what's not to like if you can get Derrick Henry in the later part of your second round in the draft? It's I think it's fantastic value. You know, I thought that he might have a chance to start to decline because I don't know where he was going to go. But we didn't think he was going to go from like one of the worst offensive lines to one of the best in Baltimore. They're just going to pound him. And I know that Lamar Jackson's, you know, a running quarterback. But when they get around the goal line, it's going to be Derrick Henry time. He's going to score double-digit touchdowns. He's one of the safest running backs to draft in the second round of your draft right now.
You had it exactly right when you talk about the offensive line. You can win a lot of bets saying, guys, who had the worst offensive line in the NFL last year? And no one will guess Tennessee Titans except the mastermind and maybe Derrick Henry, but only one of them.
Yeah, and Mike Vrabel probably.
Yeah.
I'll say this too. Gus Edwards scored 13 rushing touchdowns team last year. Now, I know touchdowns are not a sticky stat, but Gus Edwards, 13 touchdowns. Yeah. Now they get Derrick Henry. You tell me what's not to like there. So, Derrick Henry, certainly I'm with you on that one, Mike, for sure, at the end of the second round. Mike Evans, let's talk about another guy. I think you took – and correct me if I'm wrong. I thought you took him in Pros versus Joes this year, Mike. Is that correct, Mike Evans?
I sure did. Yes, I did. Early in the third, too.
Right, and I think – and that's best ball, obviously. But when you're talking about the Fantasy Pros Championship, I'm looking at his ADP now. Wide receiver 18 at the end of the third. Right now, so he's actually fallen. I know he got kind of, I think he left practice, but I think it was kind of a nothing burger and he came back and he's good. However, I just look at him going at the end of the third round. Not that I want to keep going with the older guys being values this year, but I think about what he did last year and there's 17 receivers going off the board. How do you feel about the value at the end of the third with Mike Evans at the moment?
It's fantastic value. I mean, going into last season, we didn't know what we're going to get because of Baker Mayfield. But he's found a home, and he's got weapons around him, and they put him in a system to succeed. And Evans, I know he's getting older just like Derrick Henry, but, you know, double-digit touchdowns, as long as he stays healthy, that's what you're looking at here. It's fantastic value towards the end of the third round. And like I said, I grabbed him early in the third round. He's a safe pick in the third round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems like he always meets or exceeds that draft value, and I bet he'll exceed it again. Last year I made the selection – quite by accident of Rashad White. And when I say by accident, I had my stack of running backs. He was the last one and he was there and I took him and I learned to love him. Well, who's not to love all those carries, like 270 carries, enough receptions to make it legitimate, enough scores. And the yards per carry average is not there, but I see a repeat performance of this player. He's now going in the fourth round, Balky. Is that right? Mike, what do you say about this guy?
Yeah, I like him too. I've drafted him all over the place this year. I know his average wasn't very good. I think the Bucs have improved their offensive line a bit in the offseason. And the fact is that his specialty really is catching the ball. I mean, mm-hmm. He's a dynamic player out in space. And they learned that last year. They're like, well, mm-hmm. we're just giving him the rock up the gut. He's getting 1 and 2 yards. So let's just throw it to him out in the flat. And he was making big plays, mm-hmm. you know. I think, would he score 4 or 5 touchdowns via the pass? I mean, that's a dynamic player.
And I can live with a 3.8 per rush average if he's going to carry the ball 270 times. So it'll be fine with me.
Workhorse role. Yeah, definitely.
And that's the follow-up to that. I mean, any of the running backs that are behind him, I mean, Edmonds, Irving, any of these players that who's the guy to Syracuse? Sean Tucker. You don't see any of these guys as threats to White's workload this year, do you, Mike?
No. Edmonds is always injury prone, and he's more of a change of pace, a guy that can catch the ball too. But, and then Tucker had his chance last year, couldn't hold on to the backup job there. Now, Bucky Irving has talent, and he's a rookie, so he is going to play and spell White here and there. But it's not a situation where he's so talented that he's going to take the job from White. So they're going to roll with White as long as he's healthy. They want to maybe give, instead of giving the backup guy 2 or 3 carries, he might get 5, 6 carries or something like that, just to make sure that White is just not run into the ground. But, I think it's a good thing for the whole team, but he is going to have that workhorse role. And I would not be, I would love him as an RB2.
Right. Yeah. And certainly, I mean, if you can get him, you know, given that he's almost going at the RB1 territory. Well, the other thing too is, and John Terry posted this, and we were talking about Derrick Henry. He went at the 404 last night in an FFPC main event. So it's like these guys, I mean, the value happens. It happens, and you got to take advantage of it.
I think we need to fact check that. I think we need a fact check on that because, you know, Johnny gets a little carried away sometimes. I don't necessarily think he's earlier in tonight's conversation. He retired Claypool from the league. It's not fantasy relevant, but my goodness, Claypool got a turf toe and cashed in for $1.13 million this year. So I mean, you know, he might be back. Who knows?
And the other thing too is with Claypool is he got released with an injury settlement. He could stumble on, maybe not with Buffalo, but he could be back, to your point, Farrell, with another team this year.
So I like the way you use the word stumble there, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. A guy who stumbled a little bit last year when he came back from injury but then turned it on is a player that's rising up draft boards a little bit right now, Mike, and that's Kyler Murray. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't really targeting this guy, fading this guy at all in drafts. But as I have read more, consumed more Cardinals content here, I'm starting to get excited about that Cardinals offense. Harrison, McBride, obviously the tandem of Connor and Benson there too. And Kyler Murray is the guy who is quarterbacking the whole thing. So I'm starting to like him as well. Is that what has you excited about Murray this year? What else am I forgetting about Kyler Murray?
No, well, the only thing you might be forgetting is how good he is with running the football. And the fact is that he's another year away from that torn ACL. Yeah, he showed the middle of last season that he still got it on occasion here and there because he wasn't exactly 100% healthy coming back. And he was still putting up, you know, scores in the 20s and all. But he's got Marvin Harrison Jr. now. He's still got Trey McBride, and Michael Wilson can develop more. And, of course, he's got Trey Benson added to James Conner. It's going to be a really offensive fest in Arizona. And the fact that their defense is still not very good. It's going to be a lot of action in the second half of these games, and it's going to be a lot of Kyler Murray here. And I am definitely targeting him because he's got what it is called the cheat codes. He can run the football as a quarterback, and that's the type of thing that'll win leagues for you. Because Tua led the league with passing last year, but where did he finish? Like, what, 16th overall in quarterbacks? Because he didn't run the football. We're talking about a guy that should be running around at least around 500 yards and can score five plus times and throw the ball and throw touchdowns and all. And as long as he stays healthy, that's the key. But you can get him in what I've been drafting. I think I got him in Pros versus Joe's in like the seventh round. You can get him a seventh, eighth round around there. And so you can wait and stock up on running backs and wide receivers earlier in the draft and target Murray there.
I love
just real quick, Farrell, let me just follow up on that. Just Mike, just in general, when as the quarterback position has evolved, you know, from what it was in the mid 90s when it was like, you know, Brett Favre and Steve Young and all these guys. But when you look at it right now, how important is it for you to get these running quarterbacks in your FFPC leagues?
Yeah, it is very important. It's very important because they obviously Jalen Hurts has shown, you know, with the tush push now, it's going to be interesting to see if they can actually execute that without Jason Kelce this year. But Josh Allen, I mean, the second half of last year and 15 scores, you know, alone was running away with the title at QB1. Now we've got Murray coming back. You got Lamar Jackson already. And another guy to target a little bit later than Kyler Murray's Jaden Daniels, the rookie out of Washington. He can run too.
Yes, he can.
Is he one of, I mean, have you ever drafted him, Mike, or would you draft him as your number one quarterback in drafts this year in regards to Daniels?
And Jaden Daniels, I just did. I just did a FF Webmasters Experts League. It's a 14-team non-PPR, and it got to the eighth round, and all the elite quarterbacks were gone. The last one to go was Prescott, and I was left with either Tua, Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, those kind of guys. Jordan Love runs a little bit there. But I said Jaden Daniels, you know, and then you back him up with a veteran quarterback like a Kirk Cousins or a Matthew Stafford a little bit later, just in case he struggles early on and all. But, of course, he gets right out of the gate, you know, then you're golden there.
Mike, who do you like better, Prescott or Love?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think I've got them ranked right next to each other.
They're interchangeable. Okay. For years, actually, interchangeability was what I loved about the Chargers receivers. I love big, long, aggressive can win the contested throw wide receivers. Chargers have a bunch of little guys left. Well, the big guys are all gone. You got a favorite out there?
Well, you know, I think that Ladd McConkey's just going to soak up a lot of PPR points. He's just going to be catching a lot of short passes. And he also is a playmaker and target. But the issue, with, of course, with him is that he's going earlier in the drafts. If you want to get a little bit more value, obviously there's Josh Palmer. He can run all the longer mid-range route trees. I mean, he was making some catches last year when everybody went down injured, you know, 20, 25 yards downfield and keeping the team in the game, as well as whoever picked him up for fantasy usage. They were getting some points there. At the end of the draft, I am targeting DJ Chark. Why? Because he's a starter. Forget about Quentin Johnson. Can't seem to run his way out of any kind of bench role. I don't know what's going on there. He just doesn't have it. And they were talking to Chark the other day, and he was like, you know, I've really developed a lot of chemistry with Justin, and I can't wait. It's unfortunate that he's got the foot injury now, but once we get going and all, you're going to be surprised. I know that everyone thinks that the Chargers are going to run them in football, and they will early in games, but that defense is not very good. They're going to fall behind, and guess what? Justin Herbert's going to throw the ball, and it's going to be those three guys catching the ball, and they're going to score a lot of fantasy points.
Mike, what do you think the impact is on the Chargers passing offense with Jim Harbaugh there this year? And obviously they bring in some running backs. They go with an offensive tackle with their sixth overall pick of the draft or whatever it was, or fifth, I think it was. What do you think that impact is going to have on guys that you mentioned, like Chark, like McConkey? I understand that these guys are going super cheap, but how big is that passing pie, so to speak, in Los Angeles going to be there for Herbert?
Well, I do think they're going to attempt to run it. And again, they're going to have some success here. It just depends more on their opponent for that week as to whether they're going to have success or not. And let's face it, the defense is not very good. If they fall behind 14-0 or whatever, do you think they're just going to run, especially if they have not having very much success? They can target McConkey on the short patterns and all and move the chains, get down the field. And they're still throwing the football, doing it that way. So I wouldn't be scared of any of these Chargers receivers just because Jim Harbaugh is a running football coach.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. Let's talk about the Washington Commanders again. You talked about Jaden Daniels here. I want to focus in on the rookie tight end, Ben Sinnott. Now, he is tight end 23 at the 14-10. So he's basically being drafted as a very low-end backup tight end for FFPC players this year. I know Zach Ertz is still there. We know he's reliable. We know his ceiling's obviously not what it used to be. But Sinnott is the young and up-and-coming guy. How effective can he be this year? How do you feel about utilizing a late 14th-round pick on Ben Sinnott, obviously with that offense, but with Ertz there as well, Mike?
Yeah. It's pretty good value. He's got good potential down the road. He's kind of struggled in camp with some drops and all. And Zach Ertz looks good. Now, I'm a Zach Ertz fan. I drafted Zach Ertz many times in the main event. He's helped me win some money. So I'm all about that. But the problem is that the guy's 33 years old, and he's had some injury issues before in the past. And I think that it's probably going to bite him at some point down the road. I mean, just last year, he was starting for the Cardinals. Then he got hurt, and Trey McBride took over. And before you knew it, there was no Zach Ertz, and they cut him, you know. So I'm not sure if that's going to happen again this year. If he stays healthy, he'll probably at least mentor Sinnott. And I think down the road that there's going to be a changing of the guard there in Washington. They want that, you know, to happen. And I think Sinnott is talented enough because he was the number two rated tight end to come out of the college, you know, behind Bowers.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, one of Balky's fans, I want to go out to the West Coast. I'll stay in L.A. One of Balky's all-time favorite late-round draft picks, no matter what team he's on, and I think this is his third spot, is DeMarcus Robinson.
Is he one of my favorites? I didn't realize.
Yeah, because he seems to weasel into the show. He's been playing since there's a picture of him early in his career. DeMarcus Robinson has been here. There's a number of receivers in the 17th, 18th round that I love drafting more than DeMarcus Robinson. But for Balky, at wide receiver 75, I want this guy to be in the top 24 wide receivers. I want him to be Jacoby Myers because I want this to be his right year. Is there any chance of it happening?
There's a chance of that happening if at least one of Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp goes down with
an injury-dependent situation.
Yes. Although, remember last year, Woody had a 5-game stretch there late in the season where he was phenomenal in terms of scoring touchdowns. And I remember a couple of games into that, I was grabbing them all over the place, started them in my Dynasty League playoffs at FFPC, and he got me some points and scored that week. So that's why I still have him on that team. So there is value there. But for him to take the next step, it's going to have to take a major injury to Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp. And Cooper's been healthy the entire summer, and they're saying that the offense is running through Cooper Kupp. And so you got Puka Nacua with the bursa-sack injury on the sidelines waiting. But, you know, he says he thinks he's going to be able to go for week one. We'll see. But Demarcus Robinson is a good, solid receiver to have just in case he can't play and his value then goes up.
To Mike's point, last year, week 15, 6 catches, 82 yards and a touchdown. He didn't score on New Year's Eve in week 17, but he did catch six passes for 92 yards. And oh, by the way, that week 15 game, that was his fourth straight game catching a touchdown, as Mike so eloquently put. He also did, for whatever it's worth, he did have 10 targets in a overtime loss in Baltimore last year. So this guy was utilized and certainly a player that, if you have the means, I highly recommend it, to quote Ferris Bueller, to keep Demarcus Robinson on your squad for sure. We did have a question from the chat here. I thought, yeah, John Terry piping in about Malik Nabers. He just wants to know your thoughts on him this year, fantasy-wise. Mike, are you still a Giants fan?
Oh, of course. You see that up there?
There you go. There it is. Yep.
New York Giants. Oh, and by the way, this right here, this dollar, this is my first ever dollar made with Fantasy Football Mastermind.
Bravo, my friend. Bravo. Get the frame.
Yes, I love me some Malik Nabers. The issue there is that the ADP is going up, up, up. And at this rate, the start of September, when we draft live there in Vegas, it's almost like his ADP is going to be middle of the second round. And I have a tough time taking somebody like Nabers over somebody like Mike Evans, you know. So, but I mean, if you can get him in the fourth round, you know, maybe it's going to pay off, because he is going to soak up those targets. He is a dynamic player, and in camp, no one's been able to guard him. So he's been making the catches and all. He had a little bit of scare with an ankle injury, but you know, he's come back. He started practicing again, you know, and I think he's going to be fine for week one. They might hold him out this week. Although they're talking about they might play him, I would hold him out. But as a Giants fan, I'm very excited about this. I'm crossing my fingers about Daniel Jones this year, because you know, it's a crapshoot.
It is. That's the thing. The one thing that has me excited about, well, not the one thing, but one of the things that we need to keep in mind about Nabers and our excitement for him, there's not a whole lot else there. Like, the cupboard is kind of bare. Barkley is gone. You got Singletary in that backfield. You have some promising talent in Hyatt, and I do like Wandale Robinson later, but let's face it, Nabers is the guy there for sure.
Yep.
Mike, let's do this, because we're running out of time here. Final question for you. And obviously, for everything everybody wants to know, go to ffmastermind.com. But hopefully you can give us a couple of tidbits here. A player that you want to get on a bunch of your teams this year, and a player that you're fading hard.
Okay. Well, the guys that we've been talking about are the players that I like this year. Derrick Henry and Mike Evans, Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels, those types of guys. I tell you, the one guy that I'm fading hard on, and I really don't understand the whole ADP about this guy. He's great talent and all, but he's injury prone. Rookie year, sat out a lot, missed it. He wasn't even starting. Devon Achane. I don't understand why people are drafting him in the second round, because Raheem Mostert's not injured. Now, he may get injured and all, but are you going to take a chance on a running back that might only see 8 to 10 touches, you know, per game until maybe that Mostert goes down? And then you got Jalen Wright, who's been making noise in the preseason, making plays and all. They're just going to rotate the backs. How come Mostert is like a 7th-round pick and Achane is a 2nd-round pick? I don't understand that. Give me Mostert any day over Achane in that situation. I don't understand.
I think the one of the things, and obviously I'm not speaking for everybody here, but I think part of it is, okay, we know Mostert is coming off the career year. He's been on the training table before. He's another year older. But, you know, Achane is this guy that's this up-and-comer, the young guy. But to your point, Mike, I'm not really seeing five rounds of disparity there. Like, I'm fine if you want to take Achane first, but five rounds ahead of Mostert? Yeah, I don't know about that. And I do like Jalen Wright late, too. If Mike McDaniel, who said that these running backs are going to dictate how often they get the football, then we need to start looking at the guys being drafted at the end and kind of start fading the guys who are being drafted first, for sure.
Mike, they've been throwing dirt on Mostert's casket for years. He keeps rising.
He does. That's true. That's the thing. It's like Father Time's undefeated, but man, Mostert's tempting it right now. He is tempting Father Time, and he's been very, very good. Mike, so you're fading Achane and Mostert's a guy you're targeting. Did I hear that correct?
Maybe not necessarily targeting, but if I'm looking for a RB4 maybe in the seventh or eighth round and Mostert slid a little bit to me, you know, then yeah, I mean I won't hesitate to grab him.
The players that you like this year, Mike, that you're trying to get on all your teams?
We've already talked about most of them. Derrick Henry, Mike Evans. Kyler Murray, those type of guys. It's a tight end. I love Brock Bowers. I think he's a little bit down the tier from the elite guys. I'm not really a fan of grabbing Kelce Laporta at the end of the turn there, one and two and all. I just think the value is not quite there. And you go somebody upside like Kyle Pitts, who now has a real quarterback throwing to him in Atlanta and Kirk Cousins. I expect good things from Pitts as long as he stays healthy.
We love it. We love to hear it. And we love to hear a Vegas guy talking up Brock Bowers, too. We got a Vegas guy and a Raiders guy on the show tonight who both love Bowers. Hopefully everybody is taking advantage of that. The fantasy football mastermind, Michael Nazarick, joining the program tonight. Remember, subscribe at ffmastermind.com at ffmastermind on the X. Is there anything else you want to plug about your website tonight, Mike?
Well, only because I always do this whenever I talk to you, Eric and Farrell. We have a discount code for people that want to try out the product. Super Bowl package. That's the guide, the updated rankings, the drafting software that we have. We have a great Excel app, the weekly newsletters, the premium injury quick bits. Been quick bitting news for 29 years online. It's crazy. Yeah. Everything injury goes premium to premium subscribers. To try us out is normally $59.95, but I've always got this discount code. I want to make sure I get it right. FFPC12. So if you go to the website, ffmastermind.com, click on the order form, choose the Super Bowl package, $59.95, and you put in FFPC12 in the discount code, you'll save $12. And so we're talking like, what, 20%? And that brings it down to $47.95, which is actually less than our Pro Bowl package, which doesn't include the drafting software. It's a great opportunity to try us out. And, you know, hopefully we can help you win a championship. If not, you know, at least you'll have another experienced opinion, because I've been doing this 29 years. It's crazy. People allow me to do this and for a living. And, I love it. And I'm very, very lucky and blessed.
Thank you so much, Mike. We're lucky and blessed to have you on the show each and every year. Congratulations on a great Pros versus Joes draft. And good luck in all your leagues this year. Good luck in the main event, trying to take down that $1 million as well, my friend. Thanks so much for making some time for us. And we'll talk with you real soon.
That's right. I got two teams this year, two teams. We'll see you when you come to Vegas. Take care.
You got it. Thank you. That is Michael Nazarick, the fantasy football mastermind at FF Mastermind on the X. And of course, ffmastermind.com. Once again, that code is FFPC12. When you go to ffmastermind.com, choose that Super Bowl package and you will get $12 off that. So make sure you're checking that out. ffmastermind.com. Love talking to him. The guests continue here, Farrell, and we're now joined with the latest member of KFFSC royalty, a guy who took his team all the way to the top in the 2023 Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship main event. He is back to defend his belt, not only in the KFFSC main event, but he is gunning for that $1 million. He'll be competing against Michael Nazarick for that $1 million in the FFPC main event, part of what he won with that grand prize in the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Let's welcome in the old one himself, the self-proclaimed old one, Mr. Randy Lavender. Hey. Randy, welcome aboard, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's exciting to have you on. So let's before we get into fantasy football, this will dominate the conversation. Anytime we get a first-time guest on, I always want to find out what you're doing for a living, how you're spending your time when you're not drafting all these fantasy football teams.
Working in the yard and swimming. I am retired and enjoying the salt life down in Florida.
I so wanted to hear the answer to this. This is a man who has worked hard all his life, Balky, and I was thinking that he might just make something up because he just, you know, he just could be guilty for not working. But I think we're past that now.
Yeah.
I think we ought to learn. We ought to learn how to take it easy.
But you have to
come and hang out with Randy Lavender. Maybe you didn't take it easy. You did not take it easy on the field of the KFFSC last year, and you've been playing for many years with son-in-law Mike, daughter Carrie. It's a family event. Dave Gerzak, who loves the Florida Balky, he wants to know exactly where. He wants a GPS on where Randy Lavender is. But, you know, Randy, it's a special feeling when it finally dawns on you that you're looking at the scoreboard and the updates and each play, the points are coming in, going off, you're moving around. When did you figure out you were going to win and how did it feel that day?
Didn't know up until late. As a matter of fact, when I entered the championship rounds, I was around number 100.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if I can just get to the money, that'll be nice. But the second week of the playoff, early, I was talking to my daughter, and she said, you know, you're in first place. And I went, what? So I checked, and I stayed there until the fourth week. And the fourth week, I had a 15-point lead, and it all fell apart. And by the end of the 1 o'clock games, I was 12 points down. And I thought, well, I'm going to finish in some type of money. The later games, I started coming back. And by the end of the 4 o'clock games, I had an 8 or 9 point, 10 point lead and a couple players left. And I thought, this is going to be the year. But
love that.
Farrell, I'll tell you, winning the money was fantastic, but it does not match the feeling that I got of being the winner of the league.
Yeah.
Because there are some great players in that KFFSC, you know, and along with Mike, which is my son-in-law, which is in the league, and Kerry, which is in the league. It's like a family affair. So to win outweighed the money. If you can believe that, it really outweighed the money just being able to represent as a champion for that year.
Well, it was a thrill to give you the money, and it'll be an even bigger thrill to give you your trophy at the trophy presentation. We're polishing that bad boy up, and it came in. It looks beautiful. So I'm really looking forward to you joining us in Louisville next weekend.
Yeah.
I do want to say this. So, Randy, you just said you were about 100th coming into the championship round. You ended up finishing first. Well, coming into the championship round, you know who was leading the whole thing? Myself and Jim Cole were atop everybody after the regular season. And then, I don't know, I think we put up a 105 in the first week of the championship. Jim texted me. He's like, well, I think we're out of the running for the big grand prize. I'm like, I think, you know what? I think we ended up finishing around 100. So basically, we flip flop.
Thank you for helping me get up there toward the top.
Well, whatever I can do. I just want to help players. Randy, that is okay. So the thing that you wanted to mention is what you said before to Farrell before the draft last year.
Yeah, Farrell, I could not make it to Louisville. Mm-hmm. Last year, first time in a long time. So Farrell called me and he said, you know, it's just not the same when the old one doesn't come to Louisville. And I said, Farrell, I'll be there next year to pick up my championship trophy. Mm-hmm. You know, just never dreaming that was going to happen.
You spoke it into existence. You manifested it. Aaron Rodgers would be proud.
It was truly the year for the old one. Randy, I think it's correct. And with your team name, you won't it won't bother you if I give your true age, which I believe is 74.
74.
We had a runner up in the league this year is 72. Our champion in our Super Bowl contest, the Sweet 16 contest, will turn 80 before this year concludes. The old one, you're the leading old one, and you've got a band of followers.
So I'm just basically I'm not experienced enough yet to live. I'm just too young. I'm just a young whippersnapper. I can't win the championship.
Get a few more years under your belt there. That'll work.
That's what I'm going to plan on doing, Randy, for sure.
I guess Randy, you've got the credibility to answer. We better throw you some football questions. Balky, you want to get started?
What I think is interesting is you're drafting in the main event this year in the FFPC as well as Kentucky. And this is not the first go-around you've had in the FFPC main event. You've drafted in it before. Can you tell our viewers kind of what you learned about that first experience that is going to be different for you this time around, what you learned that you're going to be applying to this year's draft?
Well, I find that if you can key in on some rookies that go later in the rounds, that will help you. Somebody that's going to have success or find success that nobody's keyed in on that's taken the first round or second round or third round. And just building, a team and adding them in, I think can help you.
I think that's important too, is you don't want to shoot for the moon on all your picks, but there is some moon shooting to be done. There is some home run swinging to be done. And oftentimes, the fortune favors the bold, and sometimes those bold rookie picks can mean everything, Farrell.
The rookie that's missing in Minnesota, the quarterback, I have, and it may be a mistake, but in the terms that Balky likes to use, I have faded the Minnesota Vikings. And I have told Balky, Randy, that Chandler, the running back, is not a particular favorite of mine. Balky has been a believer in him. I watched the preseason game last week. I'm a believer, too. A team with a blue-collar quarterback with a lot to prove, when Sam Darnold at Minnesota. What are you doing with Vikings this year? And is Chandler a number two quarterback that you would take in the double digit rounds and hope for some happy days later in the year when he gets his chance?
I don't think so. My Justin Jefferson was down as far as what I thought about his worth. Excuse me, until McCarty got hurt. And then I think his status has gone up a little bit because he'll be playing with the same quarterback all the way through. That's just an opinion that if I was looking at Minnesota, Justin Jefferson is now a little more viable to maybe draft.
Mm-hmm. And, when Jefferson played with Mullins last year, the stats were significant. And Mullins is probably the same kind, if perhaps a lesser talent than Darnold.
Yeah, I that's the thing. It's just like, Jefferson is going in the mid-first round, and this is a player that was going at, what, like the 101 last year or 102 in a lot of drafts. And, I just think that Darnold is talented enough to keep him definitely return mid-first round value and maybe even higher when it comes down to it this year. Yeah. Let's shift to the Saints, and we'll go to the Big Easy with the old one here. Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams. Speaking of the old ones, getting a little bit long in the tooth in that backfield. They're slowing down. I was of the opinion that Kendra Miller was going to be the guy to watch. He was going to be the guy to turn it on this year. And it seems like every single time Dennis Allen talks about Kendra Miller, it's that he's hurt and that he needs to get out on the field and he's got to fix these nagging injuries. I don't like any of the Saints running backs now, Randy. Like, there is no redeeming qualities here. I know that what Kamara is going, I'll just bring this up right now. Kamara is the highest drafted one, running back 15 in the early fifth round in the Fantasy Pros Championship. I'm looking at him as like a player that could easily let me down there. I'm finding other players I like where these guys are going. Randy, you have any love for any of the Saints running backs this year?
I sort of agree with you. Alvin Kamara, if you could get him at a value pick, may be okay. Through the years, he's put up some nice numbers for me, you know. Even last year, he put up some fair numbers for a short period of time. I think if you can get him in a value slot somewhere, but not early, I would don't like many of them for the Saints.
Yeah, you know,
Earl, I mean, are we off base? You're with us on this? That just avoid the Saints running backs this year?
Yeah, at some point though, it just Kamara gets too tempting not to pick. I'm with Randy there, but it, and if you draft enough, that opportunity is likely to come in front of you. I, you know, our top five finishers, not just Randy, but the group that was closest in chasing him, earn a bid to play in the FFPC. It's always been our idea that you come play with us, you could be successful, and that could open your seat for a $1 million win, and which didn't used to be $1 million, but it's always been an impressive number no matter what year it was. And, you know, Randy, you've mastered the KFFSC. Now you're moving on with your continued play in the FFPC. Let's focus on the Kansas City Chiefs, because, you know, if you're going to win in fantasy football, some Chief players are going to contribute to it. And, you know, we just had the mastermind in that said, where Kelsey's going, it's a little too early. You're talking about running quarterbacks. Mahomes was not part of his conversation. I'm sure he values Mahomes, but not as much as what you might have to pay in draft capital. Hollywood Brown's questionable availability, Rice's situation. I love the running back there. Do you have any favorited Chiefs as you prepare for your 2024 run?
Running back. That is probably it. I'm not Kelsey, I think, is going to fall off. I think he will be limited in the amount of time he sees the field or in just in key situations, or maybe like Gronkowski years ago, you know, late in the season, play him. And the receiving core, they got to prove they can catch the football first.
Yeah.
With Brown out, that's going to be a question. So I would steer not much on the receiving end of any of the Chiefs.
What I love about the Chiefs, at least at the first month of the season, is, you know, they're working Worthy in. They still have, even when Brown comes back, I mean, he's still working into a new offense with a new quarterback, right. New OC, new everything. So I think there's going to be an adjustment period at wide receiver. And when you have an adjustment period, well, who do you count on? You count on the players that helped get you a Super Bowl the last couple of years. Yep. That was Travis Kelce. That was Isaiah Pacheco. Now, I could see those guys petering out, especially given Kelce's age and Pacheco's running style. So in the money weeks, maybe it doesn't help you as much, but they definitely should get off to hot starts. And I think they're going to be utilized for sure a lot in September and maybe even early October until Brown gets healthy and Worthy gets acclimated to the NFL for sure.
Yeah, I think Kelce will see more action than what he would if Brown would have been there.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Let's talk about, we're a fantasy football podcast, guys. I don't know if you know about this, but we're contractually obligated to talk about Brandon Ayuk at least once during every show. So we're going to bring him up right now. Randy, the will they or won't they, the biggest will they or won't they since Ross and Rachel on Friends 20 years ago is Brandon Ayuk to the Steelers. Will he or won't he? Now it sounds like he might be going or might be staying in San Francisco. It sounds like they're pretty close to hammering something out, but they're trying to fix the language on the fourth year of that deal. Is there a way to get ahead of the curve in this? Is there a way to get ahead of, like, okay, this is probably what's going to happen, so I should be treating this way? Do we need to be drafting Brandon Ayuk a little bit earlier or a little bit later? Or how do we handle a guy like George Pickens? How do we handle a guy like Ricky Pearsall in drafts too? Because there's a lot of moving parts here. When you're drafting now, or when, what's your advice to the FFPC viewers? How should they be handling drafting these pass catchers in both San Francisco and Pittsburgh?
Well, first, let me say I hope he stays in San Francisco and doesn't go to Pittsburgh, because I'm a Browns fan. If he goes anywhere, I hope he goes to Cleveland. But San Francisco, if he stays in San Francisco, is more appealing to me. If he does go to Pittsburgh, I think that maybe he would drop back around because I don't know that right now they have anybody that can get him the ball consistently.
I mean, that's what we've been experiencing in the drafting so far is he has dropped around and he is likely to stay with San Francisco. And if you believed in him then and believe he'll perform when he cashes his paycheck, then why not?
Yeah, I think that he'll move back up. I mean, it may be a gamble in the next leagues, the next week or two of the online leagues, that if you take him now early and he does go to Pittsburgh, then you might be able to get him around later. But I think that he could put up some numbers at Pittsburgh, just not what he would put up at San Francisco this year.
Randy, you confess to being a Browns fan, so you got to answer this question. And Balky and I have done a lot of shows, and Balky does a lot more of them than I do. We can't get an honest answer out of anyone. What do you think about Deshaun Watson? Do you want him? Would you like to have him? Can he make any difference? Is he going to do anything for your beloved Browns? More importantly, is he going to do anything for the old ones' fantasy teams?
I would like to have him back to what he was 4 or 5 years ago. If he gets hurt again this year or doesn't perform, I think Cleveland has to move on from him. Say, we've had it. Here's your money. See ya. Because I think this is a do-or-die year for him. I really do.
Yeah.
If I would take Watson, he would not be my first choice as a quarterback. He would be my backup or secondary quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson right now, quarterback 18 at the 1502. So you can definitely – you know, he might be a guy that you go – if you go – when we were talking about with Michael Masaryk before – maybe you go Jaden Daniels and you go Deshaun Watson, or maybe you go Caleb Williams and Deshaun Watson, or right. Think about the pairing of Lawrence and why. I know Permar was talking up Trevor Lawrence in the chat tonight too. Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins to a certain extent as well. So I think you can cobble this together pretty easily with Watson on your team as your second quarterback for sure. Yeah. Randy, let's see. What do I want to? Yeah, let's do emails here. Tim in San Francisco wrote us when we announced you as a guest. He said, "Hey, Randy, do you feel Jackson Smith and Jigba is a player I need to start targeting this season? Thanks so much." That is Tim in San Francisco. Tim, we certainly appreciate it. Right now, Randy, in FFPC Fantasy Pros Championship drafts, Jackson Smith and Jigba is wide receiver 41. At the 804, that is basically four rounds after DK Metcalf, and it's about four rounds before Tyler Lockett. Your thoughts on Jackson Smith and Jigba as an early eighth-round pick in FFPC drafts this year?
Well, that would be I think that's a little late for him. I think that he could even go a little higher. I look for him to have a breakout year. He is another Ohio State player with great hands, and mm-hmm. You know, DK Metcalf, is he going to return to the same form? Is he going to be off a little bit? I think Enigma would be a good pick, anywhere from 6, 7 on at that point.
Yeah, and I think 6 is probably more accurate for Kentucky this weekend, right, Farrell?
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Let's go one more email here for you, Randy. Howard in Portland, Oregon. What's up, champ? How fast do you plan? Oh, this is a good KFFSC question. How great. I didn't even try to do the segue on this. That's how good I am. How fast do you plan on scooping up your receivers in your KFFSC leagues this year, Randy? Thank you, Howard, in Portland, Oregon. I always say it's kind of like an arms race for receivers in Kentucky, but I've done it both ways. I've focused on running backs early before. I know there's a lot of players out there that swear by it. Is drafting the receiver position any different for you this year?
I have quite a few teams this year, so I'm going to mix it up. I know that at least in one leg, I'm going to go 3 receivers, boom, boom, boom. And a couple of the others, receiver, I think, is important to get in that first round because there is a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And then it depends on who's going to fall to you in that second round. I don't have any picks before the fifth round. So McCaffrey and Robinson and Bryce. I don't know if any of those running backs would be there anyway on that fifth or sixth pick.
Mm-hmm.
So coming back the second round in most of my drafts, I'll pick up a running back, but the first player I'll probably take will be a wide receiver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way a lot of people do it. That's the way a lot of people like to do it in Kentucky. That's the way I usually like to do it in Kentucky as well. So, yeah, and I think you and I are of one mind here on this, Randy. But we'll find out if we're of one mind when Farrell asks you this final question.
Ooh, yeah. This is the same one we asked of the mastermind. And he did it. He came really strong. Mm-hmm. Who do you want the most to get on a bunch of those teams you're playing this year? And who is someone you're completely fading and avoiding?
I won't take many players in more than two or three leagues.
Mm.
I won't take one player and put him in all seven leagues or eight leagues. I'll mix it up. But I will. There'll be some that will be on two or three teams. I like Wilson from the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that depends on Aaron Rodgers. I think Saquon Barkley will be back. I have a feeling that he'll be back. Players that are fading. Mahomes, in years past, I picked him up. I don't think I'll take him early. I'll just sort of ease him out. There's too many young quarterbacks that run and that I would like to pick up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Barkley and Wilson are the guys that you're primarily focused on early on, Randy.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Give up too much.
Yeah. Right? No,
you don't give up too much.
This belt is not going to protect itself.
Marvin Harrison also.
Smokey is asking very directed questions of you that other guests just don't get. That's all. They don't get that kind of directed question.
All right. So there's the Randy Lavender trio, Wilson, Barkley, and Harrison. If you somehow get all three of them in one league, congratulations. You're the KFFSC champ. It's going to be tough to do this year for sure.
Yeah, they're all.
We'll start on your trophy.
15-6, probably.
Right. Randy, this was a lot of fun, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, big time congratulations on winning the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship main event. Cannot wait to see you get your trophy in just not even a couple of weeks, next weekend.
Yeah.
Live at Caesar Southern Indiana. That's going to be so much fun. We'll hook up again there. Good luck in all your leagues this season, too. Thank you so much for making a little time on a Friday night for us.
Eric, I'll see if this works. I'll be back next year for this program, and we can do a joint one for this one and the Las Vegas
that you're batting 1,000 on this, Randy. I would have done the same thing.
thank both of you guys for having me, and I'll see you guys soon.
You got it, Randy. Thank you much, man. That was the old one, FFPC, the future FFPC main event champion, but the current KFFSC main event champion, Randy Lavender, hopping aboard tonight. Woo! Wow, what a show, Farrell. Once again, I had a blast, and I just hope the viewers had a blast too.
It was fun. And a lot of the guys that are, there's Jimmy Williams in the chat room, a lot of guys that, becoming Mr. Green, Sean Green coming for the first time or playing online for the first time. Randy goes back a long way with us, and he's got a great story, and his daughter and his son-in-law and playing together. And I mean, they really love it. And it's just like what he said about winning is the money is cool, but winning is a whole vibe of its own. And our beloved John Terry said, well, now if it was $1 million, he'd probably feel different about the money. No, he really.
He's built differently. He's retired, right?
He's been a big success. He's been a big success in his world. And, $1 million, I'm Balky. I'm paying for your kids' school.
Lord knows we need it.
I'm going to do that. And I'm going to get some new wheels for the Jeep and stuff like that.
Man. KFFSC.com is where to go. Main event drafts going each and every day, all the way up until September 3rd right now. Plenty. I look at the 65 toss power trap division that's going to be drafting the day after Kentucky Live events. That's only got two spots left. You're looking at a bunch of them with four or five people already in them. So make sure you're taking advantage. And what do you always say, Farrell? Don't be a wish I had.
Do not. It's the worst kind of thing to be.
KFFSC.com. I see there's still some spots available in Louisville for people who want to play live.
You know what? Yeah, on Saturday night, we've got spots open at 8 and 11 o'clock, and they're just holding there and waiting for someone. We've got maybe six spots left, but, it's sure, please. The hotel has rooms, and we have spots, and a little Southern hospitality to welcome you in, no matter where you're coming.
You know, what's funny is I tried to, like a week or two ago, I tried to book my room at Caesars, and I was getting not an error message, but they're saying, well, we already have a reservation for you. I'm like, what? How do you have a reservation for me? And I went and checked. When I got back from Kentucky last year, I made my reservation for the following. Mm-hmm. So, and I'd forgotten I did that already. So I'm locked and loaded. Like
you're a be prepared kind of guy, Balgi. Yes, one of exactly. Many things we love about you.
Never a Boy Scout, but I certainly am prepared as much as I can be. Mm-hmm. Prepare yourself for fantasy greatness, KFFSC.com, at J. Farrell Elliott on the X. Farrell, thank you so much. And next week, I will see you. You won't be on this show. So we won't do the show the following 2 weeks after that. So I guess I can tell viewers of the HSFF Hour, they'll talk to you after the NFL season starts.
Hey, that's what we're all looking forward to.
Absolutely. Thanks, Farrell. Have a great night, man. Definitive commissioner of fantasy football. Farrell Elliott, KFFSC.com is where to go to register for those main event drafts. Thanks to him, Michael Nazarick, Randy Lavender, the FFPC, Rob Bryce, and of course, each and every one of you for watching. A couple of programming notes. We will be live at the KFFSC live events at Caesars Southern Indiana next week. We are actually going to do a 10 p.m. Eastern time show and have a special guest co-host lined up. We're just trying to dot the T's and cross the I's and make sure we can make that happen. But we will be live at 10 p.m. I know normally we go earlier, but because of my draft schedule in Kentucky this year, it worked out that we can still keep the show at 10. So that's going to be good. In case you missed last night's high stakes fantasy football show on the Better Sports Network, check it out on the FFPC socials as well. RotoViz's Dave Caban and I went hard for 2 hours on a lot of stuff that you need to know for drafting this year, as well as what you should be doing in your dynasty leagues at this time of year, or if you're playing in dynasty startups as well, some good advice in there for you as well. Because of some technical difficulties, we rescheduled the August edition of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. It will air 10 p.m. Monday. Mike Pereca, the 2019 FFPC $500,000 main event champion, will join me for a spirited discussion, getting you set for everything you need to know for your Fantasy Pros Championship and main event drafts. That will air Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern. 2024 Fantasy Pros Championship drafts are filling daily. They're filling fast. We have four spots left in the midnight draft, which is going to go off in about 45 minutes, 50 minutes here. Register for that. We also have a special 12:30 a.m. draft tonight for you Night Owls or West Coasters. Sign up for that now at 12:30 tonight. Those are the two spots we have available tonight in the Fantasy Pros Championship. They will resume at 11 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow. The main event drafts, check those out. MyFFPC.com. Those are popping off fast and furious this weekend as well. Empire Dynasty Leagues, Dynasty Leagues, startups are popping off there each and every day as well. And then, of course, don't forget about the Superflex Best Ball Tournament and the Best Ball Tournament going on. Both of them, six-figure grand prizes. And you can enter the Superflex for as little as $35. That grand prize has doubled to $100,000 this year as well. MyFFPC.com is where to go, MYFFPC.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, and get notified each and every time we go live, which will be, I believe, I have to actually look this up because I think we might be going live without me the next time the FFPC channel is live. We will have live main event draft coverage on Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time with Fantasy Alarm's Howard Bender as the guest co-host there. And then the lowdown will go off on Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. So there you go. That's your show. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Your weekend officially starts now.
Oh,
this has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
One other thing I should mention, too. Well, a couple of things. Number one, I don't tell this to you guys and women enough. Thank you so much for watching, viewing, downloading, streaming. We really appreciate it. It's the lifeblood of this show. You guys and everybody who watches this continues to fire away or to make this show fire off each and every week. We've been doing this show year round. This is our 13th year of doing it. So thank you so much for hopping aboard and making the show is into what it has become. The other thing too, next week will be sort of our mid-season finale as we will go dark the next 2 weeks after that with the Fantasy Pros Championship, Labor Day Draftathon, and then the live events out with the FFPC in Las Vegas. And oh, by the way, there's an NFL game on that Friday night, 2 weeks from now, or 3 weeks from now, I should say, with the Packers and Eagles. Don't know how many live viewers we'd get for that. So we will not do a show then. We will do a show next week, and then we will essentially go dark until September 13th when we go live again. So that's the schedule. Happy drafting, everybody. We'll talk with you next week.